welcome to the doghouse here on ntnradio.com.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody. You know, I kind of want to change the music to freshen the show up.
I think it's a good idea.
Jammed.
It does. It does.
It's a jamming song. We might bring it back out for special occasions.
But like the 500th show, which is not all that far in the future.
But it might not be there for me. I don't think I'm going to live that long. That's like 46 weeks from now.
Yeah.
That's almost that's a long year.
Time
for
that's
you. A long time.
That's a, lot of, that's a lot of touch years and feel years.
But I feel like this song is good for like if you're just chillaxing. Or if you're doing like a victory strut, which is kind of what we're doing today. Right? Kind of doing a victory strut today.
I think that's a good way to put it.
Got a lot to talk about this week.
Where do you want to start?
Flat track starts, MotoGP starts. We got the first time winner at Supercross. Lots of stuff going on. The Daytona 200. A weird Supercross. But I want to start with saying that Someone said to me, hey, I just scooped an article saying that Ultra, which we talked about last week on the show.
Because Harley Davidson is going to use them to bring out their electric bike.
Is trying to get a bike ready for like 2020 to run 250s?
Flat track or Supercross?
Supercross.
Whose idea was that? That was your idea.
I don't know whose idea that was.
I'm giving you credit for that because I was coming in with flat track and you usurped me, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
well, I love flat track. Supercross was even a better idea.
Well, I love flat track. Supercross, to me, is where you get the kids started, right? And it's all about getting kids. If an 8-year-old starts riding an electric bike when he's 25 and buying a motorcycle, a electric bike won't be a weird thing for him to buy. Consider.
Nah.
Right? It's a great idea. That's why I had it. I'm a genius. Sometimes I wish I was somebody else so I can hang out with me.
The doghouse has predicted
again
that there will be electric bike running.
No, it's not that we predicted. We told them.
Okay, that's a good, that's a
better way to put it.
We threw out the idea and somebody's picked it up and run with it.
Somebody listens.
Now, whether that's Alta or Harley and Alta or whatever combination
thereof.
Or
just the millions and millions of the doghouse fans. Who, like a bunch of cheap bastards, are not subscribing to Patreon. Is that right? That's what Ken would say.
Because, you know, when we did the show posting, I tweeted it, and I included Alter Motors in my tweet.
Yeah.
Of course, they didn't reply.
No, they just stole our idea.
Yes.
But I think I copyrighted it on the show.
Verbal copyrighted it.
So we might be okay. But yes, apparently I am a genius. Somebody asked me earlier this week what I thought of cloning, and I told him, I said, you know, you guys are very lucky you get to meet me, but all I ever get to do is meet people like you. So, yes, I'm all for cloning because sometimes I wish I was someone else so I could hang out with me.
Yeah.
That's enough of me being an arrogant jerk.
I'm going to go out just a little bit more with this.
I get to be a little bit more arrogant.
Yeah, because I'm looking at, I hadn't seen the article, and I did a quick search for it, but what I found out was, all kinds of people talking about making a street tracker out of the Alta Redshift 250. The street tracker can easily be made into a flat tracker.
Yes. But Supercross is the way to go.
Yeah, I agree. That is a better way to do it.
Yes.
But if you're going to do one, do both.
Listen, that's even a better way to go, right? Double up. Get the hillbillies and get the cool kids. That's my thing. So let's stay on the flat track. Since we're there on the flat track, flat track starts Thursday. I don't know what you're doing Thursday night, but Thursday night I am watching the flat track.
Are you?
On Fans Choice.
On Fans Choice, but when's it going to be on TV?
Don't know.
So that's
six
the same
months from now? I don't know.
I don't know.
Don't piss me off. I'm excited flat track's coming. It looks like Shayna Texter's going to be smart this year and try and go for the championship in the 250s and in the 450s there, the singles and not
the singles,
screw it
yeah,
up.
Okay.
And not
that's what she did last year.
Well, no, because she railed all the TTs in the four and the twins class. Looks like she's
right,
not
she
going to do that.
That is a smart move for her.
That's a smart move. Win the championship.
She struggled with the TTs last year.
Win the championship. All you have to do, all she would have had to do is get 10 points.
That's it.
Like 10 points out of four races that she punted on.
11 points, so she's 10 points behind.
So it's like, damn it, win the championship. Make me proud. Make us proud.
That probably is only a couple podiums away from a championship.
you know what? She was a fifth place from a championship last year. One fifth place in three races.
Well, you got to remember, you know, some of her competitors would probably be up there as with her, but...
Yeah, but those were from the races.
A couple podiums.
She skipped four races in her class to run the other one. All she would have needed to do is get one fifth place in any of those, and she was the champ.
That's why I was
so frustrated last year with her.
Yeah. Well, it's good that she's going to run all of her races.
It looks like it. Sometimes that stuff changes.
Yeah. But she struggled with the TTs and with the bigger bikes. So I don't know. Is she going to struggle with them with the smaller bike?
I don't know. We'll have to find out. We're going to find out this weekend. This Thursday night.
Because some of the guys do really well on the TTs and don't do well at all on the regular races.
Yep. Speaking of guys who do really well flat tracking, JD Beach is going to be racing several.
Stop right there.
Yeah.
Before we go any further on the JD Beach story, you have to either apologize or at least acknowledge the fact that the last time we talked about JD Beach, you wanted to punch him in the face.
No.
Yes.
I don't have to apologize for that. Right? And we all know I did at that time. I probably still do right now. I will want to until he wins the Daytona TT Thursday night.
I had to put that out there just to remind you.
You know, I think this would be, I think this is going to be, you know, JD Beach is going to be running the Yamaha. He's going to do Daytona and Atlanta for sure, and then several other races throughout the year. You know, since Moto America, the club racing he does there, Moto America only has like three events or something.
Oh, jeez. Moto America, you guys do put on a good product. It just no one can see it. Please do something about that.
Do something about that. Anyways, JD Beach is going to run some flat track. Danny Esslitz looks like Danny's going to be running a lot of flat track this year. A couple of the road races are coming over. You know, there was an article that obviously the writer probably listens to the show or something, because he's like, well, anytime JD Beach is on the track, you can pretty much say he's going to compete
in the competition
for a podium. And I believe that he proved that he's good at it when he beat the world.
I'm going to give the doghouse and Phil credit. The only reason JD Beach is doing this is so that Phil won't punch him in the face.
That might actually be the truth. No, JD Beach loves flat track racing. You know, I know a couple years ago when we talked to him about it, it was hard because he didn't feel right about racing that with his other things. But you know, he's got a good package with his pro race. You know, his road racing.
And Yamaha's going. Looks like he's sponsoring him in the flat track too.
Right, and Yamaha's,
because they want to get. I think they're going to end up having within probably a couple years. Yamaha's going to have a factory team.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, I see Yamaha
that way.
I see Yamaha and Kawasaki both having factory teams soon.
And Alta,
maybe
Alta Harley. Harley Alta.
You know, there's only so many bikes that can come in fourth place.
Hopefully.
So, anyways,
not this year.
So, anyways, we got, you know, the Indians look strong. They're going to be the team to beat again.
They are definitely a team to beat.
Next year
will be the year to know for sure, though.
Yeah, I hope that there'll be some fighting in and out, and it gets interesting a little bit. You know, Yamaha is going to be tough with JD Beach there.
Yeah,
right, a TT. Woo. You know, TT, woo. I tried to woo and it didn't come out right. Woo. He's going to be tough to beat. There's going to be people there that are going to be tough to beat.
There's going to be some folks riding those ninjas that are going to do decent, because Kawasaki always seems to, a couple times a year, they're on the podium.
Yeah. So I'd like to see a good mix up. Although, you know, Baker, Smith, and Mies are going to be hard to beat.
Yes.
Just going to be hard to beat.
Yeah,
so I'm excited. Thursday night, FansChoiceTV.tv. That's where you go to watch. Or FansChoiceTV.com.
You got a decent, when you got a good bike
and
the best riders, you're going to be hard to beat.
Yeah. So that's going to be pretty awesome. I'm psyched about that. MotoGP starts this weekend.
Oh, I'd forgot. Yes, it does.
Yes, MotoGP. I don't know how you could forget. MotoGP starts this weekend. Lots of weird stories, like Petrucci talking about, I think I'm ready for a, I have a chance to get a factory bike, because he's going to be running the Pramac Ducati. You know, I have, if that's your logic, I have a chance for a factory bike because I talked about the Pramac Ducati. You got to win. I don't.
Well, you know, no, you go out and buy a Ducati, you got a factory bike.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's about his best shot. But I don't know, you know.
The Pramac, they did pretty decent last year.
Yeah, and we kind of talked a couple weeks ago about how Ducati told Jorge he's going to have to take a pay cut. Now it's looking like Jorge is going to take that pay cut someplace else.
I think we both said the last time we talked about it is more. Yeah, he's going to be somewhere else next year.
He's going to be somewhere else next year. So there will be a free seat on Ducati. I can't imagine Jack Miller losing the ride out to Daniel Petrucci.
No, I don't see that.
I don't see that. But maybe neither of them get moved up. Maybe it's somebody else. You know, a lot of things are changing with KTM and
Casey
Ducati
Stoner
doing better. I don't see Casey Stoner coming back, Ken. maybe Ken Roczen. Dagger. You know, maybe Zarco. Maybe who knows? But somebody will be there.
I don't see Zarco going to the car.
You know, there's a couple message boards that I kind of follow just because sometimes they scoop pretty good stuff. Or, you know, I like talking to people to see what they think about situations. And then, you know, I kind of like do my own thing. And I was reading this one post on a message board about how, you know, the Ducatis are probably going to sweep Qatar and it's a track set up for them. And I'm like, so last seven races have been won by Yamahas.
I would say no. That of all the tracks, well, no, I can't say that.
But it's not a big straightaway track.
This is not a big straightaway track, so yeah. It doesn't.
You know, and they told me, oh, well, that's because Ducatis weren't good. And I said, well, what makes you think they're better right now? Practice? Testing? I don't trust any of that stuff.
We know that Honda's sandbagging.
Yeah, they are. Completely. So, you know, I still think at Qatar,
and their numbers still look good, and you know they're sandbagging.
I think at Qatar, I think Yamaha's sandbagging too. I can't imagine Rossi saying Maverick's just going to have to get used to the bike not being fast. That's not that something a 9-time world champion says.
No, actually it is. For him, that's that. I completely and totally believe it when he says stuff like that.
Yeah?
Yeah, because he kicks people out of the way.
Yeah.
It's just, he's like a Michael Jordan to racing, right?
Yeah.
He just does what he wants when he wants it and says what he wants when he wants it.
Yeah, so maybe.
I believe that.
You know, so I can't imagine.
He's probably pissed at Vinales over something. Maybe he's dating his girlfriend or something. I don't know. He's probably pissed at Vinales and that just came out.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So we'll see. Rossi is, I still think the Yamahas are going to be tough to beat at Qatar.
Which I will for the pool.
You do have to. If you haven't joined up to the pool, you're only a little bit behind because of the World Superbike race, but you can still get in the pool. You can look up on Facebook. It's the new Doghouse NTN Radio Pool.
Well, at this point, I would be tempted, and this is coming from me of all people. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Rossi fan. A modern Rossi fan. He was great back in the day, but I think he should have hung it up a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. But I would have to, at this point in time, you know, on a Tuesday before the race, which means nothing, I would have to consider picking Rossi. Now, Friday, I'll change my mind, but so as here's of today, what I'm gonna say. I would say Rossi's not a bad pick.
If Rossi qualifies crappy, I ain't picking him.
Yeah, I'm agree. With the rule changes to the pool this year, where yes, you get points for
qualifying, qualifying and racing through the fields, right? We've changed the pool. If he pick, because I want to say
he has started seventh before.
I am sure, and I won't mention their names, but I'm sure there are people that will fact check it. I want to say in the last 7 or 8 years, the worst finish Rossi's had at Qatar is fourth.
I wouldn't know, but that wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, he's got a couple seconds, a win, a third, a couple thirds. I think his worst finish in the last 7 or 8 years is fourth.
And I would not be hesitant. Again, this is Tuesday. So if I had to pick today, I would lean between Rossi and Zarco. Because Zarco's test numbers have looked really good for what they're worth.
My decision...
I don't think he's sandbagging, to be honest with you, because Zarco's looked really good.
Yeah, my decision is pretty much going to be based on...
Where Rossi qualifies?
Where Rossi qualifies. If he qualifies like 15th, where I can get a 15 extra points for him to come in third, cha-ching, sign me up for that all day, baby. I'll take that all day. I have no idea who to pick in Moto 2. I have no idea who to even think.
I was about to say, I don't even know who's racing in Moto 2 this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird one.
Is the younger Marquez still in Moto 2?
Yes, yes.
Throw out some names in Moto 2, because I know you're looking at them.
Yeah, Lowe's.
Lowe's might not be a bad pick.
Lowe's might not be a bad pick, but he never seems to produce when I need him to, right? You got Lowe's, you got Odendahl, nobody. Baldessari might be not a bad pick.
Yeah.
Fanati. Navarro came on kind of strong at the end. There is an American, right? We do have Joe Roberts racing.
His bike's not competitive.
Yeah. Quartararo, Lowe's, Corsi, Joy Amir, Isaac Vinales. You know, we got the battle of the baby brothers, right? We got Isaac Vinales and
Mark Marquez.
Alex Marquez, right? So I might go with a battle of the baby brothers. Believe it or not, I think, so my opinion on this is Mark is definitely faster than Alex Marquez, but I think Isaac Vinales is actually faster than Maverick. Like that's my thing. You got a couple guys who I don't know. I mean, you got Brad Binder in there, which might be not a bad pick. Bagnaia, Oliveira, you know, there's some old names, there's some new names. Danny Kenseau is fast. Pacini sometimes is fast. I kind of want to pick Bo Benschneider.
Just because of the name.
Because he sounds like an American hillbilly, but he's not. Right, he's almost like a Dukes of Hazzard hillbilly, but he's not. Alex Marquez, whose records are checkers. Agutter, you know.
Is he still on the same bike from last year?
Yes, he is. Yeah, I don't know.
That would be another, if he qualifies low, might pick him. Because Agutter could be, third.
I have sixth. No idea.
So if he started 15th, he might be a
that's going to be another one where it's going to be qualifying, but I'm probably going to go towards pole. I'll probably pick somebody in the top three in qualifying for that one. Because I have no idea where to pick on that.
Yeah, so. This year's Moto 2
is going to be weird. Interesting.
It's going to be weird to start with.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult to start with. All right, so let's jump into Supercross. One of my favorite tracks for Supercross is the indoor-outdoor track at Daytona.
All right, well, I'm going to put it this way.
Yeah.
I love the track. When it was on TV, I loved watching it.
Oh, what happened?
Saturday night comes, go to Fox Sports 1 at the right time, nothing there.
No, it was on Fox Sports 2 because some fight or
basketball
game, something unimportant.
So you go to Fox Sports 2 and...
I had it there. It was there on my Fox Sports
2. Yeah, it was there, but, it took me a couple minutes. They weren't putting up the scroll wasn't going around very quickly to tell you where it was.
Yeah, it was, that's the one thing...
And then they had issues...
That's the one thing I hate, and I'm going to just say this. Fox Sports, listen to me very carefully. Nothing else you show is as important as Supercross. That's it.
Yeah. And then when they were showing it on Fox 2... Something just didn't seem. It seemed like I interrupted.
Oh, the race that landed late. That's what it was. It was a NASCAR race.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. NASCAR went long, but on Fox Sports 2, it seemed like things got interrupted. They cut stuff short. In fact, you didn't get any of the podium interviews at the end of the race.
Yeah, because I think that they were kind of screwed up and they kept trying to check back and jump back. I don't know. They had
some
production
issues. It was a bad night
for
Fox.
Yeah.
Normally it's great. I got to give Fox credit. They do a good job.
They do. They struggled this week, and I think they also struggled. I noticed last week there were a couple interviews and segments that I thought were cut short, like where normally they talk a little more. And you could tell, guys weren't round up in their conversations. And I noticed that again this week. So I think they're having some kind of production issue.
Maybe they got a new team or something. But
they might have a new team or something. I don't know. Something. So let's get.
But for the race itself,
I love that track.
Oh, and what about where they got the little cart running down the?
That's the best shot.
Oh
in motorsports.
My God, that's awesome shots when they're basically running side by side with the guys racing.
You know, my only complaint about that shot.
There's no complaint.
Here's the complaint. is that because Daytona is such a fast and big track, they don't get the big air like they do when they're inside these little small tight tracks.
They should get bigger.
Well, they don't because they're trying to go fast, right? They're not trying to lose that time, and it's important there so that you see them jumping and you go, oh, well, that doesn't look that bad, right? Especially from that side shot. But if like they were like big airing like they do in like Anaheim, where the tire and the whole bike would be out of that guy's shot, I think it would be even cooler. Yeah. You know, but yeah, I love the race along the back stretch there
Now the only thing I don't
side by side.
The only thing I don't like about the Barker, and it was I think I said the same thing last year, because the Daytona is so big, you know, they could have record numbers of people there, and it's just not going to look like it. It makes the sport look unpopular when you see crowd shots.
You know,
even though there's probably 15 or 20,000 people.
Oh no, there was probably more than that.
You can't tell it though,
right? You know, and yeah, I agree with you on that. I think that they, you know, because when they really back out, you see there's people in faraway sections to be up high and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, you got to close off some of the sections and group the people.
Yeah. Put some tarps down so it looks like, you know, like they do at football stadiums.
Yeah, I don't even care about that. I don't care if the seats are empty because who doesn't know that there's 120,000 seats there, right? Or here's a better thing, right? I'm Supercross. Why not make Daytona, right? Because Daytona, you know, you pay to have that series come in. Your Daytona, you have, 200,000 bikers in town that weekend.
Give tickets away.
Make
your money
prices.
On concessions.
Make your money on beer sales. Bikers eat beer, drink beer, eat hot dogs.
Lots of beer.
Lots of beers.
When when you go to the Daytona Bike Week, there's lots of beer.
It's lots of beers.
Rivers of beer.
Marshlands of beer.
Lots of piss, too.
Yeah. Pee. Tinkle. Warren, this is a family-friendly show.
Okay, we'll sorry about tinkle. That. Sorry about that, folks.
Yes, but thank you, Warren.
I am correct.
You are, but there's just a lot of odds. But, yeah, so the track, big, long, fast, more like an outdoor track than an indoor track, which is why Jeremy Martin did well.
Yeah, he did.
You know, he always seems to do well at Daytona.
Look how he segued into the 250 class.
I did. I kind of segued like really good on that one. We saw Jordan Smith get the win, which
pretty much for me, out of nowhere. I would never have picked Jordan Smith to win a race this year. I'm sorry. I just would not have thought he would have won a race this year.
You know, he's currently third in points.
Yeah, but he's been way back and he hasn't looked that great.
Yeah, to say that he has a win before Martin or Hampshire is a little surprising to me.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I kind of thought in the 250s, I thought Jeremy Martin was going to be able to walk away with it. You know, but I mean, Jordan Smith did qualify, had the number one qualifier speed, you know.
I will agree. He did. He had a great weekend and a great night.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a friend of mine who used to run hair scrambles. We talk about him on the show sometime. He ran pro hair scrambles in the late 70s and the 80s, early 80s, right? And I said to him, I said, is it me because I'm from Long Island and it's all sandy? When I watch the pros race, like at Tampa and again here at Daytona, they seem to struggle with the sandy soil.
It's not as much this time, but Tampa, they really did.
Yeah, but, I mean, in the 450s, a couple guys really struggled with the sandy soil. But, you know, they were doing that, you know, and I don't get it, right? I've never raced professionally, so I was kind of like, oh, you know, I grew up racing on sandy soil, so I'm used to it, you know. And he said, you know, one of the things he had to learn with running hair scrambles, because they run through a bunch of different stuff, he goes, when I watch it, I see them gunning it. And Anaheim, they are hard on the throttle. He goes, when I ran sand, you gotta feather the throttle. You gotta be light, right? The goal is to pull out fast, not to be spinning all the time, you know, and stuff like that. So I thought that was a really interesting analysis from a friend of mine who used to race pro hair scrambles, you know, back in the 1800s.
Yeah, why not? Yeah,
well, and then like going back and thinking about that after watching the race, I was like, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
I've never raced Supercross, so I I couldn't tell you. But that makes as much sense as anything else does to me.
Yeah. So anyways.
Well, there was one, you know, one of the guys who we thought was going to be somewhat competitive in the 250 East this year was Hampshire.
Yeah.
But he had a, I don't know if you probably saw his bad crash.
Yeah.
Did you hear what happened to him?
No, I didn't.
Here's an update on Hampshire. He's probably out for the season.
Oof. It was a bad crash.
Yeah, so he was running second behind Osborne in Heat 1, and he went down hard. That's where they got the red flag.
Right, right. They decided it was bad enough. I knew he was going to be injured when they said, screw it, we're going to end the nut race. You had enough laps.
Yeah. So he has a broken rib, broken collarbone, and fractures to his T3 and T4 vertebrae. Those are the ones in the neck, right? The T's?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
So he's got a broken neck, essentially.
Yeah, he's going to be out a while. And it's a shame because he was having a, you know, he was having a good year, and we thought he was having a pretty solid.
He's solid, yeah.
Yeah,
we thought he was going to do. I thought he was going to do a little bit better than he has, but
yeah. You know.
And then Faulkner takes the lead in the point standing.
Well, I think they're tied.
But he technically Osborne, he has the lead because he has more two wins.
Yeah. So I don't know if they're going to. I think the red plate's based on points, so I think they will be sharing it.
I don't think
you do tiebreakers till the end of the year.
No clue.
So
we'll see next weekend.
We will see next weekend. Yeah, Faulkner took the points lead. Smith won, Martin second, Faulkner third, which was pretty good.
And Osborne was fourth.
Osborne fourth. Martin Davalos finally started showing up. He was in fifth, but Davalos is so far back in the points. I'm thinking he's almost irrelevant now. I was shocked. I was just literally shocked by that that race. 450s. 450s. I'm going to be honest with you. I was like sitting on the edge of the couch shouting and cheering at the end of that race. Hold on. Hold on. You can do it. You can do it. I'm yelling that.
Or some of the Eli fans going,
catch him.
You
catch
can do
him.
It. Catch him. You can do it. Catch him.
And on that last lap, he pulled within 3.5 seconds, and then it got stretched out to 4.5 again.
Yeah, he had a little bobble when that was the end of it.
Yeah, that was the end of it. So how do I want to say this? I feel like that was a big win for Brayton.
Huge.
Huge. I mean, it was. I don't want to say I feel
When's
like
When's the last time he won?
He's never won a Supercross race.
Okay, well, that was huge then.
Right? So it's a big thing. But, you know, afterwards, a friend of mine who's a motorsports journalist texted me and said, is Justin Brayton the same Justin Brayton who's won 2 back-to-back Australian Supercross championships?
I think he is.
I had to look that up to make sure, and I was like, well, yeah. So it's not like he's never won anything big. He's just never beat Americans.
Well, this is where all the world talent comes here.
Well, that was the point, is that the best in the world actually are here, because, you know, if he's a 10th place guy among these guys and then goes over to Australia and whoops on him, right, that's definitely a although now he's third in points, right?
Yeah.
Winning helps a lot. I don't think anybody was more excited than he was, but everybody in the
who's as excited as Brayton. That's Team Honda.
Yeah.
Christian Craig is looking like he belongs on the 450.
Yeah, well, Team Honda had a great 1 and a 4, right?
Yeah.
Team Honda had a great showing.
But then pulling up Craig from, you know, to run, you know, because they got Seeley and Roczen got put out for the season.
Mm-hmm.
That was, they're probably going, why didn't we do this sooner?
Yeah, Brayton, Brayton got, he's now officially the oldest guy, like 1 week shy of his 34th birthday to win a race, which
means that,
you know,
room
the best
for
part
Reed.
About that
there's
to me.
There's room for Reed to win a race now.
The best part about that to me was that I think he was like literally lapping Reed when they said that, or coming up to lapping Reed when they were talking about that. And I was like, put him down.
kick him over.
Kick him, Rossi him. But Tomac looked fast. Tomac at one point was 22nd.
Well, I think it was next to last coming out of the whole shot.
Yeah, well, I think he was last. I think he was listening.
He's either last
seconds.
Or next to last.
And
one
he
the
opened a can of whoop ass on the field.
Yeah.
Especially Cooper Webb. Tomac rode him pretty hard.
Yeah. which spells trouble for Tomac in the next race.
You know,
based on the past history.
A lot of people have said that to me, and I said, you know, I'm glad one of the veterans put it to Cooper Webb. I think Cooper Webb was riding like, I'm young, hot ass, I'm the man, stay out of my way. And Tomac was like, no, I'm the man, you're just a kid.
And, okay, I'm going to throw this out at you. Yes, Tomac looked awesome. What the hell happened to Marvin Musquin? Because I think he would have won the race. This is one of the weirdest things I have ever seen.
Well, number one, they don't have sand in Germany.
Well, that didn't help.
I mean, French.
But he was still doing pretty good. Well, they don't come ashore in Normandy, do they?
Yeah, they don't have sand in France.
But
you know, he hasn't been right since you called him Money Marvin Musquin.
I don't think that was me.
He's been a bit of a disappointment this season.
Well, he got hurt, but he's looked good. But how do you get a tear off stuck to your hand to where you can't operate the controls properly?
I don't know.
I've never seen that before.
Right, it's a piece of plastic. If your hand, but he's French, right? So his hand grip isn't strong enough to bend a sheet of plastic like cellophane. That's what I get out of that. That Myron Musquin is such a wuss.
I thought these things were...
He's probably going to text me and like, I want to fight you. Yeah, we'll fight. I got this. You can bring all your French friends and me. Lock us in a cage. Let's get it done.
I thought these things... You know, this shows my ignorance because I've never had tear-offs on my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've actually done the rollers, mm-hmm. So I know how they work. But I thought the tear-offs are static clean. I didn't know there was adhesive on them, too.
I think there's a little bit of adhesive around the edges, right? And then it's mainly static.
Yeah, but you wouldn't think that, you know, if you just shook your hand, it should come off. And and it didn't.
You know, a couple weeks ago, I was watching Supercross with my father, right? Because he's been getting into Supercross. My mother goes, what's all the shiny stuff in the track? Right? And I looked, and I'm like, the shiny stuff. And then I realized it's the light reflecting of all the tear-offs, right? So I explained to her and stuff like that. She's like, well, doesn't that get stuck on the bikes? And I started thinking to myself, wow, we've never actually seen like a tear-off bounce up and get stuck over somebody's like air intake or something. Like, how bad would that suck?
Or get melted on an exhaust or
engine. Get melted, right? You know, something like that. And then to this to happen, it was like, oh.
So your mom jinxed.
Jinxed Musquin.
Yeah. Shame on her.
No, she doesn't like the French anyways. She's German. You know how that goes.
But, you know, he was in a perfect position to win the race. I think he was running fast enough that Tomac wouldn't have caught him either. And he was definitely running faster than Brayton. So, I don't know. It was just another one of those weird things that seems to happen to him this year.
Yeah. He has, you know, we've always said there's a couple ways to win the championship. Things you need to do. You need to finish the race. You need to finish the races, all the races.
Yep.
You need to put it away. When you get a chance to pile on your lead, you need to be able to put it away. And you need a certain amount of luck.
He's not got it
this year. He's got none of the intangibles have gone in Musquin's favor.
Not at all.
When Tomac was out, he couldn't beat Anderson.
He went out the next week.
And he went out the next week. He came back. He wasn't 100% healthy, I don't think. And he's just not, his head's not in the game. Something's wrong. I don't want to say that. I don't know if it's a mental issue or if he's just, maybe that's all.
Well, if he keeps having the bad luck, it's going to be a head game.
Yeah, but my question is it already a head game? Like, his two wrecks, I mean, look at the one. The only guy the wall caved out on in the turn.
That's another weird one.
Right. Everybody
How
else,
does that happen?
I'm sure it happens a lot, right? But
I've not seen it.
Well, because you don't see that loomy of a wall.
Yeah.
Right?
But
you know,
have
we don't
you
see that a lot.
When's the
I've
last
seen
time
that in well, I haven't ridden a dirt bike in 20 years. So.
I'm talking about on Supercross where
I don't know
they freshly maintain these tracks.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that happen?
Probably not.
No. So again, it's
You know, but the whole wall just collapsed on him. He got his tire in there too hard, and boom. He's having bad luck, and
so yeah, he's 40 points. It could make your head. It could get in your head.
He's 40 points out of the league, out of the lead. Anderson has 4 wins on the season. A couple more, and I pretty much, you know, Tomek has 4, but he's 63 points back. A couple more wins, and Anderson has this wrapped up. I don't see Musquin being able to mount the charge to catch him. Brayton's the next person back at.
Well, he didn't lose any points. Back. He didn't. Musquin didn't lose any points to him this.
No,
race.
Anderson had a crappy race.
Yeah. I think Marvin might even got a point or two.
He did gain a couple on him. Marvin finished but not fifth. And
had he
Anderson
not,
seventh.
Right. Had he not at had one, the track fall out from under him, and had he not got...
At
again,
one point,
how
he,
do you get a tear off stuck to your hand?
Yeah, at one point, it would have been down to...
What's that?
13 points.
25, yeah. Been,
it would have been down
won
to
the race,
25 points. 13 points.
If he'd won the race. And he was in the perfect position to do it.
Yeah. But I was
oh, well.
that last like couple minutes in that last lap, I was screaming and yelling. I'm like, hold on to it, you can do it. Go, push it, race. I'm gonna race your race. I'm yelling every inspirational thing I could think of.
And he was putting down some good laps too. 114s and even a couple 113s.
And that's a tough track. It's a great track, it's a great place to win. I was very much happy for him.
From a TV point of view, it's the best race to watch. Even though the Fox kind of screwed it up this year, it's always the best race to watch because of the angles, because of the everything they do.
Yeah. So we have just a bunch of we have a bunch of racing coming up this weekend. We have. We have flat track, we have MotoGP, we have Supercross again, right? Where's Supercross this week?
I don't know where it is this week. It's on the east. It's in the east somewhere.
Yes. No.
Have they been to Indianapolis yet?
No, but I don't think it's Indianapolis yet.
Well, it's not Foxborough, and it's not.
It's not Foxborough. They get 2 foot of snow. How awesome would that be?
Oh
though?
My God, that would be awesome if it was in Foxborough.
Like I kind of want to see that. I don't know how the fans would feel about that. Oh, St. Louis, St. Louis.
When do they go to Foxborough? Because it'd still be snow out there.
I don't know. Now I have to look at the schedule. I would love to see. No, Foxborough is like one of the last races.
Oh, too bad.
April 21st. Oh.
Nah, it'll be
I
gone.
Have seen snowstorms in the Northeast April 15th.
Well, the way it's going, it could, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I would love to see them move that race up to the race after Daytona or the race before Daytona and get some snow. How awesome would Super Snowcross be?
Well, we've seen Snowcross with the treads.
Where they
had to throw on treads and skis on their bikes.
We're gonna have to actually start trying to push that on Twitter. We'll be back.
Everyone, Snowcross, Foxborough.
Move Foxborough to like February or April or March, May, March.
Put it in early February.
March. No, March. I think you get more nor'easters in March.
Okay.
Right?
That would work.
Yeah, right? Just 18 inches of slop. Cold, wet snow, the guys out there racing. I mean, they're probably going to hate me. I'll probably get more hate mail from 250s and 450 riders. Fans would love it, right? We're retarded. People go to football games in the snow. I've gone to a baseball game in the snow. We're retarded.
People in Boston wouldn't care. They'd show up
anyway.
No, they
would be. Listen, if they said it's going to be in that time, I'd go. It's only 9 hours. Have hoopty will travel. My college roommate lives down the road from Foxborough. I got a place to stay. I would go watch him in the snow and the cold.
Right. Do a live report.
Live
from
report from Foxborough. Home of the Cheatriots. The Cheatriots.
Cheaterots.
The Cheaterots. Anyways, we'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Check out the other shows and subscribe on Patreon to get our bonus show.